And God said, let there be light, and there was light, as we have in Genesis 1 and 3. This, of course, is a very productive thought, because when we begin to consider about messages of life that's the current series we're discussing, we must first of all consider the importance of light. Of all the things that we could offer to you on this broadcast that is requisite to man's existence, we would find the evidence of light. This, in Genesis, the first chapter, is truly a picture of the creation of what we say physical light, that we can see about us when the sun comes up in the morning, so to speak, and as it soars across the sky, as we say, during the day. Also, we're aware of the fact that light is essential to man's spiritual welfare. It was said, of course, in a prophecy of the Old Testament, that the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. We understand that Jesus was the light of the world. He came to this world to give light. He also came to this world to give life. So we want to spend a little time on the broadcast today in talking how important it truly is about light is also the light of men. I'm aware of the fact that upon this first day of creation, back there in Genesis 1 and 3, that light was created before we actually had the sun, moon, and stars. For as you'll check the record out, I'm sure you'll find that the sun, moon, and stars were created on the fourth day. We had light upon the first day. We had the expansion or the firmament, which was going to be the dwelling place of the lights of heaven. Upon the second day, we had the vegetation, the grass of the field, and the flowers, and so on, upon the third day. And then on the fourth day, we had the sun, moon, and stars. Someone asked me some time ago a question I'm sure that has been asked many preachers of the gospel, many teachers, and perhaps many people have pondered it. How could it be possible that there would be light upon the earth before the sun, moon, and stars were actually created? This, of course, may not be understood when a man looks at the circumstance of life from a purely materialistic standpoint. But we understand in Revelation, when it talks about heaven, it says there will be no sun, there'll be no light there, no need of the light as we see it today. For God truly is the light, and might we say he is also the life. When Jesus spoke in a wonderful teaching from John the 14th chapter that we've touched upon numerous times in this series, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But let us keep this point before our mind. Before Jesus could become life to man upon this earth and man receive benefit of that life, it was necessary that man should see the light. So the people who did find themselves in darkness had the opportunity of seeing a great light. I want to spend just a few moments in pointing out how many times that light, as we just simply sit back and take a look at it, had something to do with the coming of Jesus. Now, I don't know what the condition really was as the shepherds were out there taking care of their flocks by night, but as Luke records it, it would indicate to us in that momentous accounting that there was the evidence when we have the angelic hosts there, the evidence of light in a night that could have been very dark, when the shepherds actually were told to go to the city of Bethlehem to find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and being placed in a manger. So I think it is certainly not beyond reason to consider that there was the evidence of light, physical light, when Jesus actually was born. We're aware of the fact when the wise men came, as is recorded in Matthew's account, which I understand was sometime later. I don't know how much later. We understand the evidence of light there again, for there they followed the star, and when they lost sight of the star, sight of the true light that was guiding them, they found themselves at sea, so to speak. But that was a time when they made the audience, or got the audience with King Herod in Jerusalem, and they were, of course, able to find out more about where the king of the Jews should be born from the wise men of Herod, who probably went back to the book of Micah in the Old Testament, as you can read in your own text in Micah 5 and 2, that it said that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. But isn't it interesting that then they saw the star again, even though it was a short distance from the city of Jerusalem to Bethlehem, the star did lead them again and came over and stood where the house, above the house, where the young child was. So there's the evidence of light here surrounding the birth of Jesus. And even though the humble surroundings would probably indicate darkness and despair, Yet we find the light of the world, even in the physical sense, was announced to the shepherds and also to the wise men by the evidence of light. And then we're aware of the fact that people who were in the darkness of sin had the opportunity of seeing the things that were actually of light. When Paul spoke years later of the transition from sin to righteousness, he said in Colossians 1:13, "You were delivered from the power of darkness, and you were translated into the kingdom of his dear Son." Now, I'm led to believe that if darkness is associated with sin, then the complete opposite of darkness would be light. So when they came out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son, they came into a kingdom of light. The point that I want to emphasize in connection with this message of life today is that when you go through this earth life, if you do not have the light of the world shining before you, how is it possible for you to follow a pathway that you have never trod before and do those things that will actually cause you to be acceptable in the sight of the Lord? Well, someone says, "I don't know that there's so much for us to do. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we shall be saved." Yes, but what does this word "believe" imply? It implies certainly a diligent search for that which is truly right. In reading a definition not too long ago from a reliable authority regarding the true meaning of belief, there are a number of component parts, as I would call them, that go into making belief become a reality. Without at least three or four component parts, we can truly not have the belief or the faith that the Bible offers. Let's notice just briefly that to have a belief or a true faith, which would cause one actually to find the way of light, one must have the conviction of belief that Christ is the Son of God. Truly, one must recognize a complete trust in his life for Jesus Christ, and this implies a love that one would have for Christ, because our faith can't even work. It can't be alive, it can't be valid, it can't be vivid, it can't be active without a very definite emotion of love. Galatians 5 and 6 will tell us that faith worketh by love. And then there must be another part, a part of obedience. So one authority says that it is a firm conviction, defining faith, a firm conviction with a joyful trust that Jesus Christ is a divinely appointed author of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God, conjoined with obedience to Christ. So it is truly a statement of truth when we find someone searching for the light. But isn't it a wonderful thing that when you pick up the Bible and you begin to read the gospel accounts and you read the accounts of conversion as we single them out, that it's just like turning on a searchlight, we might say, not alone upon the Bible itself where we can read it, but also the communication between what we read as it goes into our mind. As we see the shortcoming in our own life, we see the love, we see the grace, we see the mercy, and we see the forgiveness. And what is this like? This is like simply throwing the light switch, so to speak, in a darkened room and making manifest to us the brightness of his love, of his mercy, and of his salvation. You know, it has been said a number of times that light truly, in all evidences, indicates to us the evidence of making known, or manifestation is a term that is used, the things that are a dark secret. Someone said the world is full of sin today. But isn't it an evident fact that even a small light in a darkened room will make a difference? But when we take Jesus, the light of the world, with a message of life, and a message of light that he has to offer, then we can truly say that this is the light for the light of men. You turn the light on in a room because it is dark. No one would reason it'll do no good to turn the light on. It'll do no good to throw the switch because it's so dark in this room that you can't see your hand in front of you. You see, that's the reason you turn the light on. And even though it is dark in that room, what will the light do? It will show up all the corners. It will show up everything that is found in that room. So Jesus Christ, the light of the world, will show us the way. It will also indicate to us the shortcomings that are found in our life. And we will really see ourselves in a true sense, realizing first of all that there is no power within ourselves to save ourselves from the clutches of sin. I believe when Paul wrote that wonderful teaching in that epistle to Titus to an evangelist, and the words that come forth are words of light that are found in Titus 3 and 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So you see, the gospel of Jesus Christ points out not alone our shortcomings, it points out our inability to save ourselves by our own plan, and then it points to us the way of the Lord that is perfect. David many years ago put it in a very wonderful fashion when he spoke by inspiration by telling us that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It was also stated elsewhere that the entrance of his words would give light. It would give understanding to the simpler, to the unlearned. And so on the broadcast today, as we beam this into your family circle, may you realize that we're talking about the light of man. In other words, it's a light that came for man. It's the light that is needed. And today, as you listen to this broadcast, keep in mind the importance of obeying from your heart that glorious truth. You may find yourself embedded in an ebon pinion of darkness tonight, today. But you can turn the lights on. The lights can be turned on in your life by simply opening this Bible, reading what God has to offer, hearing the wonderful truth, believing it, and obeying it. Your friendly and neighbors of the Church of Christ that brought you this broadcast stand ready to help you. Feel free to call upon us. And why not be in the house of the Lord? Listen to the time for services and be with us next time as we continue on with another message of life.